House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is March the 2nd, 2015, the 33rd day of the session. Today is the last day for Committee of the Whole. If any bills that don't make it out of the Committee of the Whole today die. So we might keep that in mind as we get into some prolonged debates. Tuesday, tomorrow, will be the last day for second reading, and Wednesday will be the last day for third reading. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly. Dayton,
here.
Edmonds,
here.
Edwards,
here.
Eklund,
here.
Esquibel,
here.
Freeman,
here.
Gay,
here.
Greer,
excuse.
Greer excused, Halverson,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Harshman excused, Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jennings,
here.
Kasparik,
here.
Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan,
here.
Lindholm,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Moniz excused, North Nicholas, Nicholas,
here.
Nicholas excused, Northrup,
here.
Patton excused, Paxton,
here.
Pelkey,
here.
Petroff,
here.
Piperinen,
here.
Pinnell,
here.
Reeder,
here.
Schwartz,
here.
Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Stubson excused, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Winters excused, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, 53 present, 7 excused.
Prayer for the day is offered by our own Representative Mary Throne.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come before you today with thanksgiving. We are thankful for the privilege of serving the people of Wyoming. We are thankful for our families and friends who take care of everything while we are here away from them. We are thankful for the body across the hall, and hopefully their good sense of humor. We are thankful for our House colleagues who keep us entertained. We also come before you in humility, dear Lord, and ask you to remind us that we are here to serve with humility, to serve with love, always mindful of the second great commandment, to love thy neighbor as ourselves. Finally, Lord, we ask you to be with us this week as we finish our work. We ask you to provide safe travels home. We ask you to encircle in your loving arms those members who have suffered loss during this session. And in particular, we pray for you to send your healing love to our good colleague, Representative Patton. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
Thank you.
Calm down. General Committee report.
Your General Committee reports that the Journal of February 27, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representative Steinmetz and Schwartz.
Representative Edmonds.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
We have a group of students here, first and second graders from Offlerbach Elementary in House District 12 with Kimberly Amen. If you look in the North Gallery, please welcome them.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege?
Yes, please.
I'd like to introduce to the 63rd, a good friend of mine, Mr. Bill Sipe, who's right behind you and also a Vietnam War veteran and had the impetus and idea for House Bill 77, which was the Veteran Service Credit, if you could give him a round of applause.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I have been informed that there are 13 of you who have still not coughed up your share of the break room money. 13 of you, you know who you are. Please pay the pages or Guido will come and get you. Thank you.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my privilege this morning.
Yes, please.
Thank you. It's my privilege this morning to introduce a young lady here in front of us who is our honorary page of the day. This is Miley Beringer. Yes, you'll recognize that name from her mother, who's the doctor of the day today. Miley is a 13-year-old seventh grader, Noah Webster Christian School in Cheyenne, Wyoming, dedicated student, cello player, pony club person, and Icelandic horse club. Avid reader, artist, and has firm plans to become a veterinarian. We're going to talk later. Please welcome Miley to the House.
The doctor of the day is Christina Beringer from Cheyenne, and the nurse of the day is Carol Byrne from Cheyenne. Please welcome them to the House. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 384, Mr. Speaker. The Senate appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee, number one from the House on Amendments, House Bill 214. The Senate conferees are Senator Nicholas, Chairman, Senator Perkins, Senator Ross, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 385, conferees appointed, Mr. Speaker. The Senate appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee, number one from the House on amendments to House Bill 11. The Senate conferees are Senator Co-Chairman, Senator Dockstader, Senator Rothfuss, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 386, Mr. Speaker, the Senate appointed Senate conferees to meet with the Light Committee number 1 from the House on Amendments to House Bill 15. The Senate conferees are Senator Christensen, Chairman, Senator Hastert, and Senator Ross, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, the Senate appointed Senate committee or conferees to meet with the Light Committee number 1 from the House on Amendments to House Bill 38. The Senate conferees are Senator Case, Chairman, Senator Pappas, Senator Scott, signed Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 388, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate appointed Senate conferees to meet with the Light Committee number 1 from the House on Amendment to House Bill 180. The Senate conferees are Senator Perkins, Chairman, Senator Burns, Senator Coe, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Chairman Zwanis or Dan?
Privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, please.
So, ladies and gentlemen, today on your desks, you should have found a blue folder. In it is information from the Multicultural Mosaic Foundation and the Pacific Institute. This is a group that fosters international dialogue, interfaith dialogue as well. And I think about 10 of us in this body have gone on trips abroad to Turkey. This is an organization for the last 6 years. We do exchange trips for legislators in Wyoming and Colorado. And then every now and then they offer special trips. And so 2 years ago, Representatives Miller, Connolly, Zwanitzer, and myself in this body went to Azerbaijan. And then last year, Representative Green and myself went to Kyrgyzstan with this group. And so this year they're offering their usual trips to Turkey 3 times. And then there's also trips to Vietnam, Philippines, or Cambodia. This group will be here tomorrow from 8 to 10 a.m. in the Capitol Tunnel serving Turkish breakfast. And so as you walk in from the parking lot tomorrow morning, stop and grab some coffee and a roll. And if you have any questions on these interfaith trips, please talk to them about them and sign up for one over the next year. I think, or you could talk to any member who's gone on one of these about how great they are and how much you learn about the world and other cultures.
Representative Throne, would you like to explain that hat, please?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I would have. May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, please.
I think, as you may know, today is the birthday of Dr. Seuss, and I stumbled across my Cat in the Hat hat, and I grabbed it. However, I couldn't find my Cat in the Hat, but I'm just going to read you a couple paragraphs from Horton Hears a Who. Finally, at last, from that speck on that clover, their voices were heard. They rang out clear and clean, and the elephant smiled. Do you see what I mean? They've proved they are persons, no matter how small, and their whole world was saved by the smallest of all. How true, yes, how true, said the big kangaroo. And from now on, you know what I'm planning to do? From now on, I'm going to protect them with you. And the young kangaroo in her pouch said, me too. From sun in the summer, from rain when it's fallish, I'm going to protect them, no matter how smallish. Horton Hears a Who by Dr. Seuss.
We're now without order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 24. The clerk will read the file. The reading clerk will read the Senate file.
This is the 33rd day of the session. Senate File 24 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to public utilities.
Senate File 24, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time, hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 50. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 50 from the Tribal Relations Committee, an act relating to administration of the government.
There is an amendment. Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 50 and would ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, as I was looking through the bill, I thought it was important to incorporate the fact that if we have communications going on between the tribes and also the executive office, that it would be nice to keep the legislative sector of our government involved. So what this amendment does is simply ask that either someone from the governor's office or one of the tribal liaisons report to our select tribal relations committee. And what we're asking them to report on is exactly what we put in a budget footnote last year as far as what we want them to report on. And with that, I would stand for any questions.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In working with the good representative and looking at his intent, we certainly feel that that's a very adequate and an appropriate amendment to the bill and would support that.
Representative Allen.
It is a friendly amendment, and I would urge your support, or excuse me, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And what it does, it sort of helps comport with last year's session laws. So it just tightens it up further, and that's what we're trying to do. So thank you.
Any further discussion on the amendment? We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 50. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 50 has passed. Senate File 50 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 88. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 88 from Senator Kraft, an act relating to health care facilities.
Senate File 88 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 90. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 90 from Senator Geis, an act relating to medical services.
There is an amendment. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading of amendment number 1 to Senate File 90 and ask for your favorable consideration. All this does is say that if a chiropractor wants to bill Medicaid, that they have to go through a licensed physician. And this is done because I think we have a finite amount of money in that pot of money. And so by allowing another group of folks to be able to bill that pot of money, I'm afraid that we're going to spend our money faster than we need to. And also it just ensures that the billing that's taking place is actually for medical purposes as opposed to just comfort purposes. And so I would encourage your support. Thank you.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd really encourage the body to vote against this amendment. I understand the concern that good representative has on a specific pot of money, but let's remember the intent of the bill was to allow people who are on Medicaid be able to get those services from the health care practitioner that they choose, that from where they choose to get it. And so what this would do is it would, if a person was on Medicaid, he would now have to go to a physician to get a referral to go to a chiropractor, and so then you'd have the physician and the chiropractor billing Medicaid, and so we're doubling up on the Medicaid billing rather than conserving money. I think that we're multiplying it and making it less efficient. I think it's important to remember that if a person on Medicaid wants to go to a chiropractor, the chiropractors already bill Medicare. They're familiar with the programs that the federal agencies have, and this just allows people who are on Medicaid be able to go to a chiropractor and allow the chiropractors to bill Medicare like they've done with Medicaid for years. So please, I'd again ask for a no vote on this amendment.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also rise in opposition to this, and many of the things that the last speaker just said is what I was thinking. We're talking about a finite amount of money. I think we're just dwindling it with this. So for the reasons stated and the amount of money, I'd encourage you to vote against this. Thank you.
Chairman Swanser, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question. In the amendment, it says a licensed physician. as I read that, I don't think it includes like physician assistants and nurse practitioners and other people that, you know, if you went to kind of an emergency center or a health reach type of center. But I just had a question if a licensed physician seriously means like a licensed doctor, or if you could also include kind of referring, you know, there's that whole subset of other people who are also Medicaid eligible who can subscribe, and I wasn't sure if we were limiting those people out of this with that amendment or not.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge caution here. Ladies and gentlemen, actually, we've been trying to provide more services to this group of people by allowing more autonomy for them to make their decisions. That was what we did with the counseling services and the numerous counselors that go through. At one point, they had to go through a psychologist or a PhD type, and now we said, you know what, we don't have to duplicate this. We can, they can get the services they require and get them directly without some secondary or tertiary write-off that just costs money and time. So this is actually going the wrong direction based on what we've done as a body in the last 2 years. So I'd ask you to resist this. Thank you.
Representative Kasparek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, you know, there's another group of health care providers that have to have a referral from physicians in order to receive reimbursement from Medicaid, and that's a group of therapists who provide things like strengthening and mobility and range of motion. So I think it makes sense that this group would also, in order to do the types of manipulations and movements that they need to do, would first have a referral from a physician. You know, a physician is the one who can screen the patients for some of those more pressing medical concerns that we need our Medicare patient or Medicaid patients to see, which are things like diabetes, heart disease, lung disease. So let's keep our use of our dollars tight and do it through appropriate services. And just a response to a question that was earlier, physician's assistants under the auspices of a physician's license can provide that type of referral to chiropractors. Thank you.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, I believe that if we're just going to have a finite amount of money, we should be careful upon how we decide to spend it and have only one referral at a time in there and just keep on keeping it a nice streamlined approach. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think that the previous speaker just added to the validity of defeating this amendment. If you've got a physician assistant, then that can refer to a chiropractor. And we look at the concern has been educational issues. These chiropractors are certified by the state. They provide the health care for within the scope of their practice. It should be the patient's choice to go and select where they want to go to get that health care need. And if that's a chiropractor, fine. If you don't want to go to a chiropractor, don't go to one. We don't care. But if you're on Medicaid and you would like to get those health care services there, then they ought to be able to bill Medicaid for it. They're already billing Medicare, so this just adds it. Would be opposed to this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for the second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I would encourage your support of this amendment. This really does come down to the amount of education these folks receive, and there's a reason a doctor is able to bill those folks bill for those services, and it comes down to their amount of education and the amount of knowledge that they have in terms of the overall workings of the body. And so this really does make sense, and I'll just leave it with that. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 90. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 90 has failed. Senate File 90, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 118. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 118 from Senator Kraft, an act relating to the Personal Opportunity with Employment Responsibilities Program.
Senate File 118, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 136. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 136 from Senator Kinski, an act relating to emergency medical services licensing.
Senate File 136, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be heard a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 144. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 144 from Senator Nicholas, an act relating to alcoholic beverages.
Senate File 144, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 145. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 145 from Senator Peterson, an act relating to public health.
Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pursuant House Rule 7-3, I would move to lay Senate File 145 back one day.
Is there any objection? Representative Bartle.
Chairman, a clarification, because I think today is the last day for second reading committee. Tomorrow? Okay, my mistake.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow is the last day for bills on second reading. This bill's on second reading. If it's laid back a day, it'll still be within the schedule, and that's a schedule anyway and not a rule. Is there any other objection to laying it back? Well, that wasn't an objection. Is there any objection to laying it back? And Senate File 145 is laid back for one day without objection. Representative Blackburn.
Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have my special ops people down in the Senate, and I just got notification from one of them that they started but recess now to discuss how to retaliate against the House. So I say to you, batten down the hatches, general quarters.
We have a message from the Senate. Would the reading clerk please read the message?
Are you ready? Message number 10. Mr. Speaker, it is quite clear to the Senate that members of the House have too much time on their hands. Given that the House has diverted its attention away from the time-honored practice of working legislation, the Senate has recessed from its work on House bills while the Senate engages in wheelchair racing events and ponders the return of the illegally forfeited assets. Signed by... signed by Phil Nicholas, who is the Senate President.
General quarters. This is not a drill. We're now at that order of business of bills on third and final reading consent list. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. Senate File 47, 95, 100, 124, 133, and 134.
Would anyone care to have any bill, any of those bills removed from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 47 from Senator Case, an act relating to cities and towns, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 95 from Senator Coe, an act relating to operation of motor vehicles, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 100 from Senator Escobel, an act relating to controlled substances prescription tracking program, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate 124 from Senator Cooper, an act relating to sales and use tax, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 133 from Senator Cooper, an act relating to game and fish, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 134 from Senator Hicks, an act relating to wildlife and livestock, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters excused. Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 47, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 95, are there any changes? Wilson, aye to no. Kirkbride, aye to no. Eklund, aye to no. Kennedy, aye to no. Stubson, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 6 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 100, are there any changes? Halverson, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 124, are there any changes? Croker, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Steinmetz, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Pipirinen, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Lindholm, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 48 aye, 10 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 133, are there any changes? Swanitzer Dan, aye to no. Kirkbride, aye to no. Esquivel, aye to no. Pelkey, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Connolly, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Stubson, aye to no. Schwartz, aye to no. Crone, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Petroff, aye to no. Pipirinen, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Harshman, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 41 aye, 17 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 134, are there any changes? Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Krohn, aye to no. Pelkey, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 3 no, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills, Senate Files 47, 95, 100, 124, 133, and 134 have passed the House. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Representative Steinmetz, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. I'd like to ask that pursuant to House Rule 7-3, Senate File 132 be removed and held back a day.
Is there any objection to removing Senate File 132 and holding it back a day, Representative Walters?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would object.
Any other discussion? Representative Steinmetz.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Discussion is I'm waiting on some information from the Attorney General's office that I think would give us a clearer picture of how we might want to vote on this bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a motion to lay the bill back, and there's an objection. The objection has to be sustained by a majority, or the bill will be laid back. So we're going to do a voice vote on whether to sustain the objection, which means it would not be laid back. So all those in favor of sustaining the objection, which would have the effect of not laying the bill back, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Fine. All those in favor, please stand. Now, this is in favor of the objection, which would then not lay the bill back. All those opposed, please stand. Senate File 132 is laid back one day. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 11. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 11 from Senator Christensen, an act relating to junk dealers, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 11. Ask for your favorable consideration. What the amendment does is puts a dollar amount limit on these transactions that need all of this other information, that limit being $500. This takes care of the people who accumulate junk in their garage, I being one of them, and then take it to a junk dealer and get rid of it. And I think at $500, that's a reasonable amount. If somebody goes in 4 or 5 days in a row with the same kind of junk, then you can assume maybe there's something nefarious going on. But this takes care of the person that just accumulates a box of stuff and then wants to sell it rather than throw it away. And that's all it does.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'd like a little bit more explanation. So it will only require an ID of amounts greater than $500. or and if it deletes the I guess that's my question is I'm not sure, are we just raising the limit to 500, changing it from 50? I want an explanation of how all that works.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Pinnell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have some questions on it, somewhat, but in essence, if somebody steals that junk, which I guess you consider junk, some people consider it their treasure, $500 is quite a bit of money, so I would think carefully before I would pass this amendment. I would vote against it. Thank you.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also think it's a quite high limit. You know, this would be, 250 pounds of copper or something like that to reach that $500 limit. So if someone's doing something, you know, they're not going to be bringing thousands of dollars worth of stuff at a time. Those are the legitimate guys. You know, it's a small guy that's probably trying to find some money for some nefarious purchase of a particular product that could get his assets seized. But in this case, it's not soon enough.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To answer the one question, yes, it raises that requirement for an ID to 500 or more in value. And I don't think it's that much. I mean, you do a remodel on your house and you could have quite a bit of money in scrap copper, scrap brass, stuff like that, an old aluminum ladder, a couple of screen doors, and you can probably push this figure fairly easily. So just vote your conscience. It's an alternative to keep these people from doing a lot of record keeping and photocopying and that sort of thing. Thank you. And I'd call for the question.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 11. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 has failed. Senate File 11, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger. Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Nope.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings. Kasparic. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz. Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters excused. Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Clem, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 11, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 11 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 130. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 130 from Senator Burns, an act relating to the Wyoming Lottery, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 13, or Senate File 130. And members of the House, what we done in the Minerals Committee when we heard this by request. We amended the bill to remove the Joint Revenue Committee from as one of the reporting committees, and we added in TRW. That was accepted, and then we was informed later that after we had made that amendment on the floor that we had missed in another statute in 917.128 that we needed to make the similar change. And so in that's what this amendment does. In 917.128, it removes the Revenues Committee and puts in the TRW Committee as the committee that the Lottery Commission would report to. So that's the amendment, and would ask for your aye vote, please.
Representative Steinmetz, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We consider this a friendly amendment, and thank you for bringing it. Urge your aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? We're voting on third reading amendment number one to Senate File 130. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 130 has been adopted. Senate File 130 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem. Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Escobel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, excused, Paxton, Pelkey, Petrov, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, excused, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 130, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 130 has passed the House. We're now at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to consider the following bills. Senate File 3, 138, 55, 51, 121, 85, 74, 57, 8, 91, 98, 141, 146, 99, 56, 116, 9, 80, and 126.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Representative Edmonds, let's dispose of your business before we go to committee of the whole.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
In the West Gallery, we have more students from Afflerbach Elementary with Linda Dixon, third and fourth grade.
Welcome to the House. Representative Summers.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
Go ahead.
Thank you. And may I have the following representatives come to the front, please? If Representative Greer is in the room, Representative Scott Clem, Representative Dan Larson, Representative Dave Zwanitzer, Representative Jim Bird, Representative Hans Hunt, and Representative Sue Wilson. And again, and just in case they didn't hear, Representative Mike Greer, Scott Clem, Dan Larson, Dave Zwanitzer, Jim Bird, Hans Hunt, and Sue Wilson. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it isn't often that we can have a lot of March babies in front of us. And it isn't often that it's the last Monday that all of us... Well, you have experience, Representative Greer, and that's why you have to be a part of this. You have to be a leader, Representative Greer. This is our last Monday, as all of you know, that we get to celebrate in the Capitol as we know it today. And so we're starting a week of celebration. Our good friend Debbie Childs from LSO down the hall has made a big and beautiful and wonderful cake that is in our snack room. And so before we celebrate, though, all of our March birthdays, we have to have Mr. Representative Stan Blake.
Representative Larson.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would just like to thank Mr. Puddin for that great song.
So, Mr. Chairman, at your leisure, there will be someone to help share some of that sweetness in the back room.
Thank you very much. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 3. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 3 from Senator Bruns, an act relating to public health and safety, authorizing provisions of certain investigational drugs, biological products and devices by manufacturers, specifying availability and cost of investigational drugs, biological products and devices, specifying that no private cause of action against manufacturers and other entities is created, providing definitions and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 3, engrossed, right to try, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, Kasparik, Larson, Schwartz, one no vote, Representative Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
Chairman Harvey, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 3 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and I would turn the explanation of the bill and the Standing Committee Amendment over to Representative Barlow.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Right to Try, Senate File 3. This is pretty straightforward, folks. What we're talking about is allowing folks that have a terminal illness, and there's on page 2 and 3, there's a whole list of things that they'd have to go through. We're talking about terminal illnesses that have exhausted other treatment options, and where there is an investigational drug, biological product, or device available under consideration under FDA, they might have opportunity to be a part of that testing process at an earlier stage. So one of the things we have in this country, ladies and gentlemen, in healthcare, is a challenging regulatory system in the fact that to get new products into the mainstream, available to the patients. And what this is trying to give us some folks that are in dire need and really are on their last breath, some opportunity to maybe participate in this. So what we did with the Standing Committee meeting, I want to exhaust this first, because basically we went back to the original bill. The Senate did some things, actually, that we felt in committee did not improve the bill. And let's just go to page 3, and we'll just walk quickly through what we reinserted. So on page 3, line 15, we went to phase 1. Instead of phase 2, it is now phase 1. Phase 1 is post-phase 1. Phase 1 is safety. Phase 1 is we do the products and we test these products and devices to ensure their safety. Phase 2 is efficacy. That is how good the product works. So we've already decided that it's safe and causes no harm. The next phase is, now how good is it? And what we're trying to do is interject at that point for these terminally ill patients, that they would have access to this. So the first thing we do, strike 2, go with 1. If we're going to wait till after 2, folks, there's no value to this bill. So 1 is where we need to have it. The second part, line 20 through 23, we struck this. This was not a part of the bill as introduced. We struck this. Folks, this is basically saying to folks that if it was approved somewhere else, it must be good. It's good enough for them. It's good enough for us. Well, folks, we can already travel to those other nations of the world and have treatments, and people do that. But importing those treatments and those things into this country is a different thing. So we felt like we should return to the original language of the bill that said it has to have some level of scrutiny within this nation. The last thing we did is part, actually, in your Standing Committee Amendment, the sheet itself, and this is basically saying that a physician who does make a recommendation or suggestion to a patient about this is not going to be held accountable. I mean, they're making a good faith recommendation to their patient. The patient makes the ultimate decision about their health care. And that's what this is saying. There's not going to be an action taken against a physician who does this. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is the bill we're trying to give folks toward the end of their life when they have some terminal condition, the opportunity to participate in something that is right now taking many months, if not years. Actually, the other day we had our doctor of the day in the House and it has just received FDA approval. That FDA approval has taken about 2.5 years for that one device that was his invention. It's been quite an ordeal, and it will be serve our community in this world, I would say, tremendously. Here we are just trying to give some folks a little head start on getting these things. So with that, I'm standing for any questions, and seeing no questions, I call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has passed. We're back on the bill. Representative Barlow.
Seeing no questions on the bill or no testimony, I just call for the question on Senate File 3 and ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Question having been called, all those in favor... Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question, just doing a little bit of research on this. How many states allow this to be done, and are all hospitals available to do this, or is it limited to, you know, just some, like the Mayo Clinic or that, anyway, prestigious hospitals? You just give some information on what's being done. Thank you.
Representative Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The answer to that question is this is not available necessarily through a center. This is available to all patients. This is a patient who is in the last stages of their disease, who has a diagnosis that they are terminal within the short time, and they can then go to any doctor or any hospital and make this request. At this point in stage two, where the good representative was talking about, in stage two where they're testing for the efficacy, that particular phase is only available in specific centers and at specific doctors. And the point of this bill is to try to make it available for everyone and make it so anyone can apply through their doctor or through their hospital at home and perhaps make this possibility for them when they are in the terminal phases of their disease.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 3 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Senate File Number 3 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 138. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 138 from Senator Rothfuss, an act relating to economic development, creating the Small Business Innovation Research Matching Funds Program, providing for administration of the program, providing eligibility requirements under the program, providing for repayment of funds awarded under the program as specified, creating the Small Business Innovation Research Matching Funds account, providing rulemaking authority, providing for an appropriation, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman of Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 138, engrossed Small Business Innovation Research Matching Funds, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Somers, and Walters. One no vote, Representative Edmonds, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman, and further reviewed by your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do not pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Greer, Moniz, Nicholas. Those who voted no, Representatives Conley, Harshman, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
Chairman Lockhart, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 138 do pass, and I'd like to turn the explanation of this. There is no amendment. I turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from this county who happens to be one of the March birthday boys.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. and thank you, rest of the members of the 63rd, for that birthday greeting. I've got a lot of them under my belt. I bring you this morning Senate File 138, Small Business Innovation Research Matching Funds. This particular Senate file has its origins in filling some gaps with jump-starting the technology sector and small business grants that are not normally covered by
the Innovation Grants, Main Street, and the Wyoming Business Council. And I'd like to go over the bill at this time. We'll start with the first part. If we look at the bill, it's an act relating to economic development, creating small business innovation research matching funds program, providing for the administration of the program, providing for eligibility requirements. That's important to know at this point. You have in front of you the engrossed copy. That's because the Senate amended it. The amendments were basically technical. They the Senate Standing Committee Amendment was on page 8, line 22, where they changed the statute, where they made the correction in the statute number to be Wyoming Statute 912-201. And the reference to 912-201 is the assumption of science, technology, and energy authority functions are from the statutes. Assuming that the functions of the Science and Energy Technology Authority Council shall administer the program in accordance with the provisions of this act, generally and the specific provisions in this article. So that was one change they made. The other one was just another change on line 3 of page 9, changing that word energy. And so it came out of the Senate with fairly little changes to it. And at this time, I'd like to explain what the bill does. Basically, what this does is it sets up a program that allows entrepreneurs that cannot or don't fit the existing model to apply for grant money. And what I'll read to you is you should have got a handout in front of you, which is page 2 of part what I'm going to read. And that particular handout points out the geographic distribution of the SBIR awards in fiscal 2001 to the present. If you'll notice, it's fairly widespread throughout the state. We've got one in Grable, two in Cheyenne. I am reading the list backwards. Sheridan 18, Pinedale 1, Buffalo 2, Jackson 22, Torrington Lust 2, Casper 8, Laramie 37. So the money is being distributed around the state fairly evenly. We get it from all points. Let me shift back to the beginning and description of the program. The phase zero of this program is the WBC provides funds to jumpstart Wyoming participants through the Small Business and Innovation Research Technology Transfer Program, other known as WSSI. Participation in phase zero program is not a requirement for submitting phase one proposals. It's a great way to get ahead of the competition for the Wyoming small business. Let's skip down through this. Phase one, finding the availability of any phase one and phase two monies, the amount of individual awards will not exceed $5,000 per individual or per group, and the funds can be used for, this is important, attendance at the SBIR conferences and workshops, which helps them hone their skills and how to put the rest of this thing together so they can graduate to the existing programs. Communication with, including travel to, targeted federal agencies, consulting with mentor services. That's important because this is kind of a bridge. This is supposed to capture those companies that are outside the scope of the existing Main Street Small Business Loans Business Council and grab those entrepreneurs that are just starting up. The other, the Main Street and those particular entities, the business councils, they require a certain buy-in and a certain capitalization before they can actually help you. This does not. The object phase one is to establish technical merit and feasibility, commercial potential of proposed R&D efforts. Typically, a phase one awards are capped at $150,000. This is stuff that as these companies become profitable, they will be returning a portion of this money back to the SBIR. And that is pretty much the bill in a nutshell, what we're establishing a program. I would stand for questions at this time.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in opposition to this bill. I got an email from a guy named Carl, and he said that you must be Bluto to support a bill like this. He says all those folks in the STIA program are going to get the shaft if it happens. It is absolutely pure pudding for those new grantees over at UW, the La Lola folks over there at UW. And I say subaku on all that. This is a junior Meade bill, and no good seaman would support it. Thank you.
Chairman Madden, follow that one, please.
I don't. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really don't know what to say now, but I do have a question on Section 2 on page 9. On Section 2, page 9, they talk about all unexpended, unobligated, unencumbered funds from the Wyoming Business Council, Science, Technology, and Energy Authority account. And it doesn't say in here, I've never seen an appropriation that is open-ended like this, and I don't know if how many dollars we're talking about, and I don't know. It looks to me like we're if you go on page 5, I think I know where part of these dollars would be going, however many we find in here. But on page 5, you've got on Romanet 1 on top, they talk about a $100,000, 100% grant. And then you got Romanet 2 up to $250,000. And it seems like is this money just going to be gone, or is it? It says the entity will repay all matching funds if they don't do something or if they do something. But I think in the presentation we didn't get an adequate explanation of the financial aspects of this bill.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Chairman Madden, for the question. Yes, I am remiss in not explaining page 5, which I will step through now. The recipient award for phase 1 is up to 100% of the award, which is not to exceed $100,000. And then the Romanet II, the recipient of phase 2 award, not up to 25% of the award, not to exceed $250,000. Yes, and down below it does say, an entity shall repay the matching funds awarded under this section if. And that is important to see. If the entity becomes commercially viable, section D, little I, Romanet I, the product, conceptual design, or any marketable asset developed within the existence of these funds, yes, they will pay us back money. So that's important to know that underneath this, that these entities that receive these funds, this is not a giveaway.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just still having questions and, frankly, difficulty with this bill. Page 3, Romanet 3, lines 4 through 7. Basically, having received funding under the Federal Small Business Innovation Research and Small Business Technology Transfer Programs through the University of Wyoming Research Office. So whatever money that we're going to match here, this group has to have federal money to start with. I would just like some examples of what kind of research we're talking about here. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just some questions. Looking at this, there are 93 companies or entities that have received this phase one number, and they've created 140 jobs, which is 1.5 jobs per company. So, you know, I have to wonder if this is money well spent. It looks like it's funding an owner and maybe half an employee in each of these companies on the average. So I would want some explanation on the companies, the jobs added, what they do, that sort of thing.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the questions. The the type of companies, I'm scanning through my notes here to see if I can find out exactly the type of companies, because I don't recall exactly which ones they were. But the companies that did apply for this were fairly broad across the spectrum. They did create some jobs, 140 jobs, and I will have to get you that information because I have information, but it's not exactly tailored to the questions that I just got at that time.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One other question I have on Section 2. This Business Council Science, Technology, and Energy Authority account, is that an account that's no longer used, or is it's a program that's been phased out? Or tell us about that Science, Technology, and Energy Authority, and if they know about their funds being deappropriated and going to something else.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you for that question, Representative Madden. That particular account underneath the Business Council, I'm not aware of the alternative uses or whether it's being just held in perpetuity under for programs like this. But this is the spot where we've decided that it was statutorily okay to get that money, and the Business Council is. This is where they would like it to come out of the fundings, too, for the matching money. Again, that's when these are very good questions, but at this particular time, that funding stream, I'd have to, before I commit, I'd have to look that up and come back with this on a second reading with those exact numbers and locations.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the question asked by the good representative, or actually chairman of our very serious committee on legal issues. In the testimony that we've heard on this, a good share of them are in two phases. Medical, people are just starting out with something in the medical area, and then also the energy. And one of the energy started out with one of these loans way back when, and now is a dominant employer in our state in more than one community. So it starts out with whatever somebody comes up with for research, and then it progresses on its own merits. And the medical and energy sector were two that came to mind from the testimony before the committee.
Representative Ponnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm a little puzzled by this type of bill. I know of several businesses that have started up. They went to the bank and got money. And now I know they employ one particular business and employs, I believe it's 25 people. And I look back east at in that next layer of government that did loan out a lot of money and never got paid back. The companies they loaned to went defunct. So I kind of have a question where government gets involved in this. I guess I would be interested to see what companies are getting the loans or wanting to start up, but I do know of a lot of companies that start up on their own. They go to the bank, or they get the money out of their own bank account anyways and start it up. So just some questions about that, and I'm a little concerned about the bill. Thank you.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me address that, and I'll address that partially from my business and my formation, being in the computer business, one of these niche businesses that this grant does address. Being in that business and going through traditional banking modes to get financing, first of all, those people in that sector, they want hard assets. They want some sort of capitalization or collateralization against an idea. Most of them don't understand that idea to begin with, so it's going to be very difficult for them to get the startup money that they need. These are companies that have ideas that are solid. They are vetted by the business council and the others, and they feel that before the grants are even given, that these companies do have a very good shot at success. Again, there are 18 businesses which have started from ideas, an idea less than 15 years ago, and now are thriving enterprises in large due to their successful commercialization through the SBI awards. These are companies that don't fit the mold for standard business. They're high-tech jobs most of the time. They're cutting edge, tier zero for the type of design work that they're doing. So the people that they're employing, when they get up and running, most of these people are pulling down about $70,000 a year once they get going. So they're quite profitable. Not to say that there is that possibility of failure. There's that possibility in every failure of business. But what we're trying to do is grab those companies that are prone to success in a market that's hot and have the proper management so that we can get them going. They're not inside the existing system that we have set up to help facilitate these companies. The other thing is, if we don't do this, that state to the south of us is more than happy to welcome these entrepreneurs down there and give them exactly what we're looking at right now. So the question is, do we want to really improve the business sector, improve the entrepreneurial spirit here, and stay competitive? Because we can choose not to do this. And there are states on either side of us that I've seen personally in the last 2 years take technology from us that we've actually started to develop here in Wyoming, and it's gone to the other places to be commercialized and be quite lucrative. So I guess that's the question before the body. Do we want to do it or we don't want to do it? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I stand for questions.
Representative Edwards.
On and against the bill. We used to have in this country what was called free enterprises, and that's what the banks were for. Now the government seems to think it needs to do the job so it can pick winners and losers. On and against the bill.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in favor of this bill. Friends, even though you have what looks like a completely new setup with SBIR, that's not the case. What this bill does is simply transfer about $500,000, a little bit over that, that's not being used in this STIA account over to the SBIR, which is being used and is doing good. It is establishing jobs for $70,000 plus. It establishes a way for us to further enhance innovation, and we have $500,000 that's sitting over there in an account that's doing nothing. What this bill does, again, is it just transfers that money. So I'm in favor of this bill. And if you have any kind of the specific questions about how this program is working, I'm sure that the sponsors and co-sponsors would be happy to answer them.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I think I'm going to vote aye on the bill, at least until it gets to second or third reading. I know of some graduates at UW that are still in Laramie that work at various quite high-tech facilities, and I'm going to make some inquiries and see if those programs were funded somehow in the past through a program like this. I actually don't know. But right now I'm going to let it go on and do a little research, and we'll see on third reading.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 138 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Senate file number 138 has passed Committee of the Whole. Division having been called, all those in favor, please stand.
Aye.
Senate File 138 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 55. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 55 from the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects, authorizing specified Level 1 and Level 2 studies and providing appropriations, requiring reports, providing for reversion of remaining funds, authorizing unobligated funds to be used to complete other designated project studies under certain conditions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 55, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Hunt, Yeagy, Larson, Lindholm, and McKim, signed by Representative McKim, Chairman, further reviewed by your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, whom respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
Chairman McKim, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 55 do pass. And I turn the explanation of that bill over to the good representative from the Where the River is Green, Senator Representative Blake.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last Friday, we handed out this cheat sheet. Hopefully, you still have it on your desk. It's kind of got HD 39 and my initials on the top. I just want to remind everybody, Senate File 55 has been through the Water Development Office, Wyoming Water Commission, Select Water, both houses of the Ag Committee, and the Appropriations Committee. It's been thoroughly vetted. If you have that cheat sheet, you go, or your bill, I guess, the first 12 projects up there are watershed studies, master plans, master plan of well testing, and you take those 12 items, that equals $3,187,000. Then we have four more projects. These are level two projects to do development, and that's a test well, a feasibility study, master plan, and a test well also. That adds up to $2,825,000. And then coming out of that, I'll call it a tranche, or whatever. At the very bottom is a reversion from a plan up in Buffalo Bill country. I'll put it that way. It was a plan that was brought last session. Didn't work out very well. They quit the project, and they reverted $113,000. So if you add up those 12, the next four, and then add in that reversion, that gives you $5,899,302. In the middle of the page, we have rehabilitation projects, which are both irrigation districts. $165,000, which totals $337,000. And then the next two come out of that same trench there. That's another irrigation district master plan, and then a canal rehabilitation, $260,000. All those projects add up to $597,000. Now we have our heavy hitters, which come out of Water Development Account 3. These are design and permitting of some reservoirs we plan on building, storage enlargement. So these are the ones that are really costing the money. You see $2 million, $4 million. Add those all up, we got $12,850,000 coming out of Water Development Account 3 for design and permitting. And we're working with the Bureau of Rec on a couple of these. So these are 2 and 3 years down the road, but we have to start the design and the permitting now. And if you didn't find your cheat sheet, I can provide it to you later. It's a lot easier than looking through the bill, but I would stand for any questions on it. If not, I'd call for the question.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman McKim's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 55 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Senate file number 55 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 51. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 51, the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development, providing amendments to the water development program, providing for contingencies, clarifying authority of the Wyoming Water Development Commission regarding specified interstate projects and programs, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 51, Water Development Amendments, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Hunt, Yagi, Larson, Lindholm, and McKim, signed by Representative McKim, Chairman, further reviewed by your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 51, Water Development Amendments, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stepson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
Chairman McKim, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 51 do pass, and I turn the explanation of the bill over to Representative Eklund.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 51 amounts to some amendments that have been suggested to the legislature. What they would do is allow the water development program to function more efficiently and effectively. I'll briefly go through it. It's fairly complex what it actually does, but I do think I can answer specific questions if people have them. Section 1 amends the authority of the commission to accept federal dollars in the water development office as well. Right now, we don't have clarity on that. It changes the language of our existing inflation funds. We have two of them. One of them is for rehabilitation level 3 projects. The other is new construction of level 3. Changes it from inflation to contingency. That better describes what we need to do there. Other things besides increase in cost of materials that need to be considered are, for instance, trenching. You get into some trenching problems that you didn't foresee. That allows the contingency fund to be used so the project goes forward without being delayed. One of the at the top of page 3, it makes it clear that what is done here, the changes that are made, meet with the approval of the governor. The main part of this that it addresses is in section 3, and that is a $2.8 million grant program that Wyoming would be eligible for in the Colorado Salinity program. A change also is a shift from the state engineer's responsibilities to the Water Development Commission and office. These changes are appropriate because the work that's being done is actually being done by the water development rather than the state engineer. Section 2 amounts to $1.8 million grant, and that is money that is Wyoming's share of some hydroelectric power that is received on that Colorado River, the whole Colorado River. And then Section 3 is the $2.8 million. The contingency fund, I probably should back up just a little bit. The contingency fund are dollars that have already been appropriated. They don't change what the general fund is. They're simply moved around, being moved around within the water development program. So it is revenue neutral. Now the acceptance of grant is the $2.8 million for sure is new money that we haven't received before. And I would stand for questions if anybody has any on this.
Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. Page 3, I guess, it really line 4, you know, you're asking for, I guess, a authorization to maybe accept some federal funding. Was there any discussion on that as far as, you know, with that federal funding, some of the requirements they might require or, you know, strings that might be attached to that money? Please. Thank you.
Representative Eklund.
Yeah, the funding that we can use has a set of fairly stringent requirements. The Bureau of Reclamation is involved in that, in deciding whether they're appropriate or not. And that's the $1.8 million. It goes to irrigation projects. And also, on the salinity control program, they're involved in that. They can veto the choices that Wyoming would have. That, I guess, the number one, what I'll explain on that I know is that their number one criteria is how much salt is removed, the cost of removing salt from the Colorado River is probably a primary, one of the primary parts of what our projects have to address. And if we don't pass that test, then the Bureau of Reclamation will probably not allow it.
Are there any other questions? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman McKim's motion that when Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 51 do pass, please say aye. All those opposed? Senate file number 51 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 121. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 121 from Senator Hastert, an act relating to labor and employment, establishing a career and technical training scholarship program in the Department of Workforce Services, providing definitions, providing for grant criteria specified, establishing the career and technical training grants account, requiring rulemaking, providing appropriations, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 121, Career and Technical Training Grants, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, Danswanager. Those who voted no, Edwards, Gay, and Jennings, signed by Representative Kirkbride, Vice Chairman. Further reviewed by your committee number 2, Appropriations, who respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, and Stepson. One no vote, Representative Nicholas, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
Chairman Dan, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 121 do pass. I would move the House Corporation Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 at this time, but turn it over for management to the good representative who sits in front of me.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Brothers and sisters, we have here a bill that I think is one that many of us have been waiting for many years. And so I think patience has produced a perfect product, and I will certainly urge your aye vote. Mr. Chairman, first I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 121, which I wasn't even in the committee, but I know what it is. And that is on this Career and Technical Training Grants bill, initially on page 2, line 13, there was a thought that the community college would be the provider. However, there are many, many sources of technical training, and the Workforce Services already does a lot of work in this area, and so that was switched. So if there are no questions on that, I would call for the question on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has passed. Back to the bill. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will just give a few sentences on what this is and then turn it over to Committee Number 2 for their amendment. Folks, this is a bill that would create career and technical training scholarships housed in the Department of Workforce Services but not funded by state funds. And it does not impact the Hathaway program, which was, I think, our concern with other bills of this attempt to bolster these jobs. 75% of the jobs in Wyoming over the next 15 years will be in the career and technical fields, and this sets up a really fabulous program to provide training grants to people who are trying to enter one of these career fields and keeps these young people in state. So I will put my presentation on pause there and turn it over briefly to gentleman from Appropriations.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to the bill and ask for your favorable adoption. Folks, it had this bill is a new program. It has 100,000 in it, and it had 50,000 for grants for the recipients, and then another 50,000 to an agency here in government to administer it. And what we did a couple things. First of all, we didn't think it'd take 50,000 to administer 50,000, so we basically struck on page 12 all of section B, which was the administration piece and the 50,000, and we took the 50,000 and put it over on page 11 in section 2 to make that 100,000. It goes into the training grants account. And then we took out a repealer, because this said it would revert, and that's on page 12, line 8. Appropriation shall not revert, we inserted, because as you read on to, you look at this program that's created, it has to accumulate to $2 million, and that's on page 5, before any grants are appropriated. So we just wanted the money to go to kids right now and get the balance going, and see if we can have some private donations, which I think it was referenced to us we would have, to get this rolling. And so we didn't want to put it into any administration. So I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Halverson on the amendment. Question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 2, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 is passed. We're back on the bills. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, friends, I'll just go over this really briefly, not crawling down into the weeds too far, but just to let you know that this program does not supplant industry's training programs in-house or anything like that. This is grants to people, whether out of school or non-traditional people who are trying to enter a certain career field. On page 6 of the bill, it outlines the qualifications for this, that they will have graduated from high school. The grants will be on line 20, no more than the equivalent of 2 years. There is a period of time when you can come back. For example, if you went into the military or a mission or something, and you could come back and finish off. On page 8, it points out that the person can have received no more than 2 semesters of the Hathaway. You know, we don't want people to take four years of Hathaway money and then they still haven't gotten a degree, so they need to take 2 years of this and kind of keep on going. So it clarifies that. On page 9, it identifies lines 14 and 15 that the grant payments will go directly to an approved career and technical training provider. I have a big long list. I'm not going to read them all, but samples of the types of training that would be offered are dental assisting, crane operating, power plant operations, diesel tech, medical coding, gunsmithing, electrical line walker, or I'm sorry, line worker, HVAC technician, CDL, motorcycle technician, welding. So these are all careers and the type of workforce that we really need more of in the state. It does require on the bottom of page 9 that there is a commitment requirement that the person be required to work in Wyoming up to 2 years, depending on the length of the training program. Some programs are longer than others. Page 10 identifies a repayment feature in case the person does not come up to the agreement. And then we have already heard about the appropriation. The grants shall not exceed $1,600 per year per grantee. So for a fairly small amount of money, and we have heard from the executive branch that funding sources, private funding sources, as well as public sources outside of this layer of government are really already in the wings, eager to fund this program and educate these types of workers that we need so much. So with that overview of this excellent program, I would stand for questions.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was okay with this until the first standing committee amendment. Now that we've taken the community colleges out, I'm really confused. Doesn't our community college system provide exactly this already? All of a sudden, it appears to me that we've got some competition in a very small state between our community colleges and a state department that deals with career and technical training. So please explain to me how we're not either duplicating efforts or taking away from our community colleges and giving to a government department. Thank you.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe the question is regarding on page 2, the amendments on line 13 and 14. The providers, certainly the community colleges, would still be providers of these training programs, but there are many other things, crane operator or gunsmithing, a lot of other work type skills that are not necessarily offered at community colleges, but rather at other programs. So students could go and get their training in a variety of educational settings. The approval, the community college is not, I'm sorry, so it says approved career and technical training provider means a provider approved by the Department of Workforce Services, and Workforce Services is really our oversight over all the different kinds of training programs in the state. So really that's a very suitable approval agency. The community college doesn't need to be approving programs created by other places on, say, crane operating that they may know nothing about.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just was wondering how many students or trainees will this $50,000 take care of? And then the other thing I was wondering if these grants for, I suppose it's like tuition or some kind of a charge, a training charge or something, Is it 100% is paid by this grant, or is it a matching thing where we pay part of it and they have skin in the game too? Or I looked for that and I just didn't see it. Maybe I missed it. But
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The intent is to not start giving out funds until it gets to $2 million. So I'm sorry, I don't have my calculator here to divide $2 million by a maximum grant of $1,500 per year, but whatever that comes out to. And so there could be a significant number of students that, I mean, they're very small grants. A lot of times this type of training is not that expensive. Some of the programs are maybe only 3 months, 6 months. Certificate-type programs, they're not necessarily entire degrees. And I'm sorry, I forgot what the other question was.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a number of questions on this. Looking through it, I see a lot of criteria on how to use this money, but the one I missed, unless I've not read it close enough, is that this training be provided in the state of Wyoming. A lot of these mentioned courses occur in other states, and I don't see a requirement that they be done here. So, and obviously, based on this, they're private organizations, and I would ask, has there been a legal interpretation? Can we actually give state grant money to private organizations potentially outside the state? The other one is, I don't see anything here on a demonstration of need for this money. So theoretically, any of us in here who decided we just wanted to gain some knowledge in some sort of career and technical training program could apply for this grant money through the process and, say, go off to a school in the states south of us and learn to operate a crane or something. There's nothing in here about the quality of providers or anything else. I just think there are a lot of unanswered questions with this, and this has been the perennial bill. I think I've seen this every single time in my time in this body, and it always takes a little different form of giving state money to private training providers. So I'd really like to know the answers to all those questions. Thank you.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is correct. There are certain areas that are of great need to Wyoming employers where we do not have programs necessarily in this state. However, there is a requirement that the recipient then work in the state of Wyoming. So, in effect, we're leveraging some money. Maybe just for example, we do have the WAMI program where we go out of state to bring back medical people. You know, this isn't the first time that we do that sort of thing where the training is available somewhere else and we ask the students to basically work off their grant here. On page 3, line 7, we do set it up that the department shall, by rule and regulation, establish and administer the program. So rather than identify specific, you know, sliding scales, matching income levels, whatever, we have the bill leaves that up to the department.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is that they have for training of persons participating in a career and technical training program, but we just took the University of Wyoming and the community colleges out of it. So what a certified or licensed or accredited body is going to be doing this, or is it just Joe Schmo saying, my son would like to have a deal and some education dollars?
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, the community colleges are not restricted from providing. Certainly, many of them are very capable providers of many of these programs. The sponsor of the bill provided me with a big, long list, but obviously I can't read all those names because I don't think I'm allowed to do that. And again, the Department of Workforce Services certainly has the capability, I would suggest, of setting up what our expectations are as far as accreditation or some similar process. And as the legislature, we always have oversight over the rules and regulations to make sure that they're set up the way we want.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Going back to an old life when I was a trustee of a community college, we were often asked to to enter into agreements to where we worked with other training facility or facilitators for different programs that we didn't do as an AA degree or a certificate, but it dovetailed very closely with what a provider or a client would want. And I concur with the person managing the bill that it doesn't preclude community colleges to do that, to be part of this. In the state, and I again, I'm talking from what I remember, but I'm not real sure about it, but like apprenticeships for trades are usually not done at a community college, but they're definitely needed for our communities, plumbers, electricians, and that kind of stuff. The State Department works very closely with the community colleges to provide training for represented needs within the state. So if your hang-up is that it's not specifically saying it's going to the community colleges, they're not providing all the CTE training in the state. And what the amendment did is kind of open it up to community colleges and other recognized training programs.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I understand the bill, and I like the bill. I have a family member, I guess as an example of what might happen. I have a family member who wanted some training in a trade that's really been lost in Wyoming, and that would be blacksmithing, which you'd think would be important. But I think the people who need blacksmiths usually do their own welding and fabricating and stuff. This bill looks to me like it would offer a scholarship opportunity for someone to go to a school also, not necessarily a junior college, but somewhere else in the country, and then come back and provide services. The family member I'm talking to makes really good money in the trade that he has trained himself in. I think he did it on his own nickel, but I don't see any problem with the state scholarshiping something besides the curriculums provided by our higher universities and junior colleges. Thank you.
Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to respond to the question about government offering grants to private businesses for training programs, we actually already do this. If you look in the TANF block grants, or what we do for single mothers and what we do for single fathers, we work with truck driving schools, we work with welding operations, we provide jobs for those, but the requirement is you have to be a parent. And in this one, you just have to be a young adult. That's the requirement. But if you look to try and provide someone with opportunity, you give them the opportunity to be prosperous and then less dependent upon any other governmental services. So I think it's a really good program. We should support it.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we need to find out how many of these programs we have going on right now. We just passed another one in Education Committee. Here we have this one, and I'm sure we've got some others that are going on with private businesses. So I'm wondering if we're duplicating some. I'll try to do some research and see if we can find some things out for us.
Representative Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just answering some questions. This is a good bill, and yes, we've seen it before us, I think four times since I've been here, and we've passed it through every time, and this is the first time the other body has had time to get to it, so it was started over there, and we've never really had this much discussion about it in the past because We've all kind of, I thought it was a good bill in previous years. And so we already have, we talked a little bit about can we trust the department. You know, the Department of Workforce Services, they have a workforce training fund. They've been doing this type of work for over a decade. And they certainly get more money than what's contemplated in this bill from the Wagner-Peiser funds. I think I can use that pronoun, from federal funds that they pass through for workforce training. And so those are more for like two-week specialized courses. These are for trades to attract businesses or to keep businesses here that we just don't offer. I mean, things like, you know, you never think Wyoming would need someone who knows underwater welding until we do. Or something like we're getting data centers, this high-tech kind of high-tech data center computer soldering for these type of interfaces. It's things like that where you want a business to come into your community and you just need someone with specialized technical expertise. And so we have, I was on the Workforce Development Council for 8 years, we have a huge number of employers saying, you know, we have jobs, we just don't have the specialized skilled employees that we really need. And so you get things, especially here in my community, when we have a military installation and a lot of these people work in electronics and communications and high-tech stuff, that if they just had a little more training, you know, they could go use one of these workforce career technical grants and encourage, you know, high-tech firms to move here. And so that's what we're really talking about, is this isn't any kind of new, real innovative idea. We've been doing it in a separate capacity now for a decade. But these are for the really specialized career technical things that you can't find in Wyoming that sometimes you need to go out of state. And I wish that we had multiple you know, universities or technical colleges or facilities, but Wyoming just can't offer everything sometimes that Wyoming needs, and we have to ship that somewhere else. But usually that's for people who live and work in the state and want to be and stay in this state. And if we can encourage them, you know, I think we mentioned the WAMI program, to go out for a year and get some specialized training to make a living and a lifelong career in this state and attract some high-tech businesses and keep them here, then this is really worthwhile.
Representative Freeman.
Just one last stab. This is a good bill, and I am guilty of having read this thing three or four times before and just skimming it this time, but reading back through it and remembering testimony in the past, this is for non-traditional students, people that have been out of school for a while, probably are starting into a career and need that additional training to where that it benefits both them and a potential employer. So I urge your aye vote on this bill.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Dan's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 121 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Senate file 121 has passed Committee of the Whole. Majority floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report. And ladies and gentlemen, just to explain to you, we are rising and reporting because we will have other reports that we have to discuss and concur on later today. So as you know, we have joint conference reports that will be coming in and out. And so we need to go through this formal process, and then I will have you recess here momentarily. So you will not starve, so just hold on.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Reading clerk will read the report.
Mr. Speaker, Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration on general file, beg to report as follows. Senate File 3, amended. Recommended do pass. Senate File 138, recommended do pass. Senate File 55, recommended do pass. Senate File 51, recommended do pass. Senate File 121, amended and further amended, recommended do pass. And is signed by Representative Summers, Chairman.
Representative Summers.
I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's passed. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House stand in recess until 1:15.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. We're in recess until 1:15. Don't be late. Committee announcements. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet upon adjournment today in House 17 to discuss interim topics.
Chairman Swanser Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet in 20 minutes in S-19, which is Senate Corporations, to discuss interim topics with our colleagues from the other body.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9 will meet immediately up in House Committee Room 18 to discuss interim topics.
Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet upon adjournment in Room H10 to do interim topics.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet with our partners from the other side of the hall in the wheelchairs in room H8 in 5 minutes.
Chairman Swanser Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will not meet today at 1:15 because we're scheduled to gavel in. So we have postponed that meeting till tomorrow on noon recess in H-17 to meet with the Light Committee on the other side. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wants to go before Chairman Harshman? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just because you can, I know. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 2 will meet with a like our mobile protein-infused counterparts immediately to discuss as a JAC to discuss interim topics. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're adjourned until 1:15.